All right, welcome back to the 9 till noon show. The Joint Committee on Housing, Local Government and Heritage are meeting this morning to discuss the defective block scheme regulations and review of IS 465 with stakeholders. Mike Action Group Chair Lisa Holmes just concluded speaking. I was hoping to bring you some of that if time would permit, but they were only given 6 minutes to make their case, which I think is a remarkably short amount of time. And in fact, as Lisa Holmes was getting to the crux of her presentation, there was an attempt by the chair to cut her off, which I can't understand because she went slightly over 6 minutes. With the amount of waffle that goes on down there, you'd think they'd let her finish. Well, in fact, they did let her finish. And I think the important statement is that still they are applying the pressure on the government or whoever's responsible, whichever government's responsible, to do the right thing. If in doubt, take it out. Presumably a reference to foundations, for an example. The fact that the point was being made, don't want to misquote or misparaphrase, but effectively saying amongst those in attendance at this joint committee, to say that this should be a situation whereby the houses are fixed so people never have to worry about this again into the future. So there's no doubt that they can get on with their lives, that their mortgage is on a property that's worth money, that they can get house insurance and so on and so forth, or borrow against the property or hand it on to somebody else when that is appropriate and to have its value. So all those points being made again in the committee. I spotted Deputy Joe McHugh there. Not sure who else is there. But anyway, that's ongoing. We'll bring you the highlights and the key points from that, of course, on the news as we go through. And I was hoping to bring you what Lisa Hone had to say, but it just so happened to straddle the 10 o'clock news and she was only afforded 6 minutes there. But I'm keeping an eye on it, and if there's anything else of note that comes up, we will bring that to you, of course, because, as I say, important that we discuss the €345,000 that went awry or that was unaccounted for or is the centre of controversy. But this is billions and billions of euro of taxpayers' money. This is multiples of what the controversial children's hospital will cost. This is thousands of families. This is their children. This is their physical health, their mental health, their well-being. The conversation's ongoing at the moment. I'm not sure if it's actually on Oireachtas TV. I don't believe it is. I think they've chose to put something on the main Oireachtas TV channel, not even this committee discussion, which again, I'm flabbergasted. How was that editorial decision made actually? Do you know what? I can find out precisely. It's RTE's on their main channel. The RTE committee is on their main channel. And are you sure on the live? No, but on the live one where it's, I'm not on about one of the committee room channels. I'm on about their live channel. That is the one that goes to Searview. I believe that's actually the RTE committee, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, you can go into the committee rooms, but the one that's being streamed on, that they have chosen. I'm open to correction. Who's right? I'm right, am I? Well, there you go. Thanks, Caroline. Not that that matters. It's only a bit of banter here. So a BBC presenter's career in life is ruined, says this listener, because of consensual, if immoral, contact with the 20-year-old. Meanwhile, the King's son a suspected paedophile, let me put it like that, is protected by British monarchy and their taxpayers. Good morning, Greg. They say normalising. Will you ask Annette if she will be changing sex or having sexual relations with another woman if it's so normal? And if not, why not? This is a total nonsense being programmed into our kids. But what it, it's not. But you see, there's a bit of an oxymoron in your comment there, because you're suggesting that even by talking about it or knowing about it, that you might actually all of a sudden become a lesbian. Which you're clearly saying that she's not going to, but you're saying that if we talk to young adults, children about it, that they may. I'm not sure they might, as I say. But I'm still working through it in my own head. Let me see. There's I'll read this one out first. There's a small lamb on the road near Ards in Creasla and appears to be badly injured. I'm here on holidays and don't know who to contact. Could you mention it? Perhaps the farmer who owns them could come see it. So it's a small lamb on the road near Ards, and apparently it's badly injured, the wee dote. This is a holidaymaker that's contacted us to try and make whomever owns it available. It's like insurance. When you see the small print, you might get a shock, and certainly a lot of the context from primary to senior cycles not suitable for children to assimilate in a classroom situation. Parents should see what is in the lesson, and it should not be integrated across other educational subjects. How does one participate in the consultation about the SPHE? I'll get that URL and share it with you. Every parent must check this out and go into their school and make their views known. The WHO document on sex ed in schools not suitable for children. They don't have the maturity to deal with this material. The WHO document is not influencing this SPHE. That's been going around for a couple of years and was debunked quite some time ago. Regarding the new education programme, there are aspects that are required, particularly around consent and mutual respect. However, elements such as encouraging children who identify as transgender, reinforcing them, particularly where it may simply be a phase, is not acceptable. For example, will the teachers be encouraging children to take their parents to court to change their gender, as set out in Sinn Féin's Gender Recognition Bill? Well, I can say they won't, because it's clear from one of the people that is putting this together. Well, we're being told it won't. Let me put it like that. I can't stand over it. It's not my document. I see, actually, Deputy Pádraig McLoughlin is also at that committee meeting. And, as I say, Deputy Joe McHugh. I don't see any other Donegal reps there just at the moment. But, sorry, what was I saying there? I was just trying to keep people updated on proceedings there at the same time. I can't stand over whether or not that eventually might be the case. The expert panel that this bill came from consisted of lobby groups, civil servants and legal experts. Not one medical doctor, paediatrician, psychiatrist or the panel on the panel. Children are confused enough during their formative years without this adding to it. I'm aware of a school where the teacher must check a particular student's social media profile to see if they are male or female that day and what their name is. The teachers are afraid to object lunacy. Well, if you don't mind, would you let us know the school and any information you might have on a teacher checking a social media student's profile? Because I would like to check that with the school management, if that's okay. I think that would be useful information to get out there, wouldn't it? So if you're aware of that school, as I say, we're not going to make it public or the teacher's name's public, or certainly nothing to identify the student. But if you make us aware, we can certainly make inquiries as to whether or not there is a school where a teacher has to check a student's social media profile to see if they're male or female on a particular day and what their name is. So you might remember August last year, we covered a story from Buncrana Hearts FC. They posted at the time that prior to an under-11s Braves match, the coaches discovered broken glass bottles and beer cans strewn across the bottom pitch in the Castle Park. They described it as disgusting behaviour that could have serious consequences for children about to play a game of football, and then they appealed to the culprits of such behaviour to stop immediately or action will have to be taken, and they had discussions with the Gardaí at that time. So that was August last year, but unfortunately it seems that there is still antisocial behaviour ongoing in and around the club. Denise joins us on the programme now. Denise, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Right. So, I mean, unfortunately, you have evidence that such antisocial behaviour is ongoing because your young son was injured. Tell us how things unfolded.
Yeah. So Jason was playing in the under-13s match on Monday evening down at Buncrana Hearts. And during the match, he slid trying to keep the ball in play. And when he stood back up, he kind of looked down at his hand, and we were fortunately standing not too far from where it happened. But at first thought, I thought maybe he sprained it or fractured it, just the way he was kind of holding it and looking at it. And then we seen the blood coming then. So what happened was when he slid, the glass on the pitch cut him in the arm and on the wrist. It actually cut just on the artery on the wrist as well. So there was a lot of blood and everything coming from him.
Scary.
It was very scary. I suppose, yeah. Like adrenaline kicks in and everything too. The coaches and all were so good. They were straight over and got it bandaged up. Had to re-bandage it and everything then, you know, after a while because of the blood. But they were really good and looked after him really well. So.
And when that was part of it was done, a full night in the ED with him. Jason, did you say his name was?
Yes,
yeah,
Jason,
full night in the ED with him then.
A full night. So A&E was very, very busy. It was jam-packed that night. So it was actually about 8:30 the next morning before we got seen. So it was a long night for him then as well on top of it.
And you.
I know. But
you're worried about him. But you know what? Like, it's scary enough, and I don't like to be dramatic, but you know, when you're a parent as well, you can't, like, say he went for in a slide tackle and that cut his thigh. Do you know where there's the main vein, so to speak? You know, you can't help wondering how, as bad as this is, how much worse it could be. And you're saying, look, enough is enough. We can't have another child injured like this.
That's it, exactly, because I know the coaches and the volunteers and everything down there, they always do their best, and, you know, they have to clear the glass on a regular basis, but it's so easy to miss a small piece of glass on a pitch. Like, I understand that too. So the fact, like, I know if there's whatever's happening, underage drinking maybe or something like that, but just stop smashing the bottles. It's young kids and everything playing on the pitch, and it was a serious injury for Jason, but it could be far worse, you know, for somebody else. I mean, as you say, if it was the thigh, or even if it was the face or something,
the eyes
that,
or
like
something,
that was
scary.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know?
So, look, are the people responsible for this listening to us now? Probably not. Is it likely maybe their parents are? Maybe. Maybe we just need to have a reminder of this conversation and say, look, if you're involved in this activity, don't, because there's another young person that's been injured, and, you know, that these are the consequences of your actions. I think, you know, it's as much as the younger people, if it is younger people, we have to appeal to their parents and guardians as well.
That's it, exactly. Sometimes it's just a conversation. Maybe they're just not thinking or don't realise or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, if the bottle just wasn't... If they just left the bottles behind, you know, that's easy to clean up. But the smashing the bottles, it's dangerous, as we found out.
And I'm sure he's okay now, isn't he? He eventually got good care there, and he's on the road to recovery.
He is indeed. He'll be back at the football this evening, so good he's stuff. Doing well.
Right. What position does he play?
Centre mid.
All right, okay. And obviously he's a Buncrana Hearts fan. Does he have another team he supports?
He's a big Liverpool fan
that's
as well.
All right, okay, that's good. Good answer. Right answer, Denise. Correct answer.
Okay. Don't know if it's that or Liverpool.
Listen, thanks. So, did you say that again?
I says I don't think his daddy would agree with that. He's an Arsenal man.
Listen, no one's perfect, Denise. No one's perfect. Come here. Thanks for helping us raise it again. Listen, it's not to cause controversy. It's just for everyone to think a wee bit about actions and consequences. I don't think any person that might have been there would want to hear that a young person was injured. I don't think they would. I think, you know, so it's just a case of getting it out there, and just another reminder, don't break the bottles or don't go there or whatever it might be. But Denise, thanks for helping us get that message out, and I'm glad everyone's doing well and is back playing today.
Thank you very
Bye-bye.
Much. Greg.
All right, take care. That's Denise Moore there. As I say, we covered that in August. We have another injury there. It's completely avoidable. So hopefully the right people are listening, and we won't see any more of that. Right, okay. Gently remind your listeners watching on YouTube and elsewhere to support the live broadcast and give it a like or a thumbs up. Patrick and Donald. Patrick, thank you very much indeed. And the aggregate of listeners, people that choose to watch the show, and it's a good, Patrick, it's a good opportunity to remind me to remind our listeners. We're a radio station, and, you know, that's what we do here. But obviously the world is changing and people want to consume shows and programs in different ways. And now we have now for 4 or 5 years, can't remember when, been streaming this show every day. There's a lot of people who are hard of hearing that now can watch the stream with subtitles, and so they can keep up to date with what's happening, which is really satisfying for me. And there's others that throw it up onto their big screen on YouTube. You can do it on your smart TV or your Fire Stick, or on any of your devices on YouTube or Facebook. And of course, anytime you like or subscribe, it's really good for us because it helps with the algorithms and gets the show further out there. So I'll join with Patrick in saying, yes, please, if you can like and subscribe the pages, we really would appreciate that as well. It's just another way for us to reach the people, not only of the Northwest, but right across the world. Some people sit and watch this show in the evening. It's their evening entertainment in different countries. Isn't that great? Right, okay. I'm going to take a quick break now as we line up our next guest. Please stay right where you are. Back in just a couple of moments. We're joined on the programme now by author of The Menopause Kitchen, Rachel Graham. Rachel, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Greg. How are you?
Great, and great to have you on the show. And congratulations on your book. I always think it's a wonderful achievement, to have an idea, to create it, to get it printed and to get it out there. It must be a lovely feeling.
Yeah, it's really fantastic feeling. It's quite surreal, but it's amazing to see all your hard work kind of come to life.
Yeah, and it's really put together well. So it's not necessarily typical, but certainly a familiar story. You were sort of taken by surprise, or blindsided, I think is the way you phrased it, by menopause. And I suppose for a period of time, having feelings or thinking it's something else, not necessarily making the connection with how you were and menopause. Talk to us a little bit about that, Rachel.
Yeah, I think that menopause tends to certainly sneak up on a lot of women. So a lot of the symptoms are they're kind of unrelated, and you just can't really connect the dots and think that this could in fact be menopause. And I think also your age will depend on that. So many women aren't expecting to start experience menopausal symptoms if they even understood what those were in their early 40s, because most women would actually associate it with kind of early 50s. But in fact, perimenopause, as it's known, is the 10 years prior or in the lead up to the official diagnosis of being menopausal, when you experience all of the symptoms. And I think that's what is so surprising for so many women. And they're likely expecting maybe many of the physical symptoms, but in fact, it's the psychological symptoms of menopause that are the ones that really kind of floor you, and also the ones that are least spoken about.
Yeah, and we are able to speak about it now. You don't have to go very far back, maybe a generation. And when I say generation, I'm on about the parents of 40 or 50-year-olds. Mm. Pregnancy was described as expecting or something, and menopause was the change. It was the great unspoken. Hopefully for generations to come, it won't be a taboo subject, if I can phrase it like that. Maybe a little bit strong, but I think the point I'm trying to make. So there are an awful lot of people that, maybe if you're not constantly consuming media and information, this information might not have been passed down from women in your life that you get a lot of your influences from.
Absolutely. I think that our generation now, certainly my peers in their 50s, we're really the first generation of women who have literally blown the lid off this topic. And I think that that is exactly what needed to happen, because it's as normal as pregnancy. It's as normal as puberty. It's part of the life cycle of women, what we go through. There's no need to, shroud it in secrecy or shame at all. And it can actually be such a really empowering and positive time in your life. So, and that's really my message.
So the connection then with food seems an obvious one. We are what we eat. What we consume affects how our body operates. It's like putting petrol in a car. It's as simple as that. You put good petrol in and you get better performance from the vehicle. But you're one of the first really to make this connection that, you can adjust your diet, eat nice foods, but does it benefit you through menopause?
Well, I think in menopause, it's a time in our life when we have likely developed a lot of maybe niggling health complaints or health issues. And, at best, we can maybe not feel, our best, or at worst, we maybe could potentially get sick. So both of these outcomes will actually impact your quality of life. And at this life stage, because of the decline in estrogen, we actually have a greater requirement for certain key nutrients than at any other stage in our life. So, for example, our risk for osteoporosis increases exponentially at this life stage. So we need to increase our intake of calcium and calcium-rich foods. And so I am trying to identify other sources of calcium-rich foods apart from what most people would think is their go-to, dairy, as in cow's milk. So it's about really identifying which key nutrients you need to optimize now. So I'm not just talking about adequate, as in RDAs of these foods, as in recommended daily amounts. I'm talking optimized levels of these nutrients so that you can function at your best. And exactly the same analogy that you just made there with the car and the fuel. So you wouldn't put tractor fuel into your Ferrari. You need to think of your body as a Ferrari, and it requires, the high octane fuel in order to be able to function at its best and be able to enable you to, you know, have energy, to sleep well, to feel good about yourself, to feel confident and be able to do all the things in your life that you perhaps up until this point have been unable to do because of work, family, career, whatever it is.
Yeah, and you don't, it's not many, it's not, I mean, there, it's full of beautiful pictures of food and cooking instructions, ingredients and that, what have you. But you don't go straight into it. That's not page one. You've taken the time to frame this to, I think, I mean, not everyone's going to read it, but I presume you would like them to read it to understand. You've done it in a short space of time there very well, don't get me wrong. But for people to understand their body, what could be happening with it, what needs to be balanced, what you might need to consume to balance that, how that might benefit you. And it's all science-based. It's laid out so that by the time you get to your first menu, you're kind of in control. You're saying, you know what? You know, I mean, I can go to my GP and I can do this and I can do that and the other, but I've got quite a lot of control here about my health and well-being and how I feel and what I put into me.
Exactly, Greg. And that's, you know, I wanted to put the power back, you know, to the reader so that they're in the driving seat of their own health. And I anticipated that people might well skip past the first 100 pages where I explain all of the nutrients, why they're important and why you need to optimize them and in what dosages. And I totally anticipated that because I know how, you know, people like go straight to the pictures, what looks good. So then my second point was to, okay, I need to showcase the benefits of these nutrients in a very easy way. So that's where I provided that at-a-glance information for every single recipe where I've done the nutritional analysis on it. So you have this really nice colorful bar chart at the bottom of each recipe. And that's showcasing all of the nutritional values for that specific recipe per portion size or per recommended serving size. So you know exactly. So again, going back to, I suppose, osteoporosis and optimizing your calcium, you know, how much calcium do I need to consume in order to be able to reduce my risk for osteoporosis? So we know that you need to be, you know, how much you need to be consuming, and then you can work it out according to the recipes that you are eating. So it becomes a really effective tool. So I didn't want to just be full of beautiful recipes and beautiful pictures. Of course, that's really important because that's kind of like how you entice the reader to start eating this way. But I actually wanted them to see, God, this is really powerful. You know, I'm actually in control here and I can affect change in terms of my health and future-proofing my health or increasing my health span, which is what we all want at this life stage, is that healthy aging.
Yeah, and you know, a bit of a buzz killer right at the start of the book for some. It's a fact check. It's a fact. And it reads, if you were born female, you will experience menopause. If you haven't yet, it's in the post. Now, someone might read that and go, oh, bloody hell, throw the book in the bin and say, it is what it is. We are where we are. But no, you continue, because this is about saying, no, it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't. You don't have to necessarily endure everything. It's not just the way it is. It's not another burden on women. This is about saying, well, there's an awful lot you can actually do. You know what I mean? And, and come with me and you can make choices and you can be out in front of osteoporosis and other things that you mentioned here. You know, so that's a start point. But it's like, well, you know, so we are going to have to deal with this. This is how we can best deal with it.
Yeah, well, it's like puberty, you know, it's like regardless of whether you're born male or female, you will go through puberty. So it's the same thing. You know, we go through menopause. Men also go through menopause, by the way. It's called the andropause, but their midlife pause is totally different to ours. So your decline in hormones would be very, very gradual, where ours literally just fall off a cliff. So everybody is going to experience some sort of menopause regardless. But it's the, you know, I suppose the extent of it, the severity of your symptoms is very individualized to the woman. So, but if you are properly nourished coming into this life stage, then you will be much better equipped in order to be able to deal with all of the symptoms that might come your way. And also in addition to life stressors, which it's a very stressful time for women in midlife.
Yeah. So get on to the recipes then. I mean, it's they're not boring. This is not about starving yourself. This is not about eating boring, uninteresting foods. You flick through the book. Everything looks delicious. It's obviously been really very well presented, and I could perhaps not present it in such a fashion. But the focus is on then, obviously, presumably, yes, getting all the balances right, getting into your body what you need. But also, you know, you're not making huge sacrifices here. This is all nice, tasty food.
Yeah, and that's really important to me because food is intended to be enjoyed and also enjoyed in good company, and not that you're feeling that, like, you know, you've got your food that you're going to eat over here in the corner and everybody else in the family yeah. eats a different way. This is
well,
this
I'd
is
be happy with any of this as an evening meal. So, you know, no, I'd be happy with any of this as an evening yeah. meal. So no one has to make their own stuff. You know
exactly. I mean, they're all family friendly recipes and they can be also adapted accordingly. So, you know, just I think that it's really important that you are, you know, really enjoying your food and enjoying the process of getting healthy, because that then will make it very sustainable for you and will, you know, ensure that you continue eating in this way.
And does this complement your diet, other stuff you might eat, or for best results, do you sort of, you know, if you can eat primarily what is contained in a book like this?
Yeah, I mean, this is essentially the Mediterranean diet. It's also a kind of considered a low glycemic diet, which essentially means that it will help to keep your blood sugars balanced. So it's naturally low in sugars. It's heart healthy. It's bone supportive. It's also brain supportive as well. So it's a very sustainable way of eating long term. It won't feel like a diet. It won't feel like deprivation. And as I said, I think, you know, family friendly. So everybody in the family can enjoy, you know, eating this way.
All right. Well, listen, good luck with it. I presume, well, you can tell me where it's available, Rachel.
Yeah, sure. So it's available in all good bookshops nationwide. So you've got the big ones like Eason's and Hodges and Figgis, Dubray, and then some also online bookshops as well, like Kenny's. I think that if it's not in your small independent local bookshop, then just ask them and they will, you know, get in contact with Gil and they'll be able to source it for you. And if you want, you can also contact me. I'm on Instagram. That's my main social media platform, which is Rachel Graham Nutrition. And so I'd be delighted if anyone wants to get in touch, has any questions or wants help, whatever, just get in touch. I'd be happy to help.
OK, listen, it's been lovely speaking to you again. Well done on your book. And I'm sure it's going to be a huge success for you. Thank you very much, Rachel. Rachel Graham, author of The Menopause Kitchen. That is the book there. And as I say, loads of tasty recipes in there. And maybe someone out there will get that book and it will be of great benefit to them. And that's why we done that piece there. Liz White's in Cavenhill, Lifford. Hiya, Liz. Happy 50th birthday from mum, dad, brothers and sisters. They're sending you loads of good wishes there coming in. We'll join with them. I'll take a break and come back then with more of your comments that have been coming in over the course of this morning. Now, welcome back to the programme. And we welcome into studio Corinne Robinson. Corinne, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you with us. How are you?
I am very well. Thanks, Greg.
Okay, that's good. Okay.
Thank you.
Right, now we are talking in relation to the Gareth Friel Memorial Charity. It was created in memory of your brother, Gareth. Mm-hmm. And I'm really sorry that very sadly he passed away on the 31st of July last year. So
yeah, he
his
did.
First
yeah.
anniversary is coming up and coming it's all up very, very, yeah. very recent and raw. And I understand that. But as I said to you just before we come on air, I'm sure he's here guiding you if needed. OK, so talk to me a little bit, as much as you're comfortable with, about Gareth.
Gareth. Well, Gareth was my little brother. He had profound special needs. He was nonverbal. He wasn't capable of doing mm-hmm. what, you know, a lot of people would hope to do in life. But having said that, he wasn't shy and he made a big impression on people. He had a huge personality. He was full of badness. Everybody who met him remembered him, and he changed lives, you know, as well. And we were very grateful to have him as our brother, and it definitely made us better people, being able to share our lives with him. And I would say anybody who knew him would agree with that. Mm. He was a great character.
Yeah, and what a beautiful legacy to be able to leave behind you in far too short a life, but it's a lovely thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
to touch
well,
people like that.
It is, definitely is. And, you know, the charity came about not long after he died. We were quite sure we would do something in his memory. Mm. To carry on his legacy, like you say, me and my parents talked about what we would do, and we weren't sure whether or not we would maybe raise money for an organisation, you know, to support disabled children or whether we would try and hit the bigger community. So that's where the swing idea came from, because he loved to swing when he was younger. And also we felt if we added an ability swing to the local playground, it wouldn't just benefit disabled children, it would actually benefit the whole family, because the whole family could go and enjoy the playground together. So that's where the whole idea came from.
Right, so it's the Fun for All fundraiser for Buncrana Play Park. So you are going to locate this swing in the park, is that correct?
Yeah, so it's in the Festival Play Park in Buncrana at the shorefront. It's a county council owned and maintained playground. So we're very lucky to have that as it is. It's, I know I'm biased, but it's definitely one of the best playgrounds in Donegal.
You can get away
with it. It's by the beach. You know, it's a lovely setting as well. It's got lots of equipment. We're very, very lucky to have it. So this, you know, just moving with the times as well, I suppose, is just going to be a good extension to have. So we have, we're aiming to install the ability swing and then also the bird's nest swing. So a lot of people will be familiar with the bird's nest swing. It's like a huge disc.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an important piece of equipment because, you know, if you're in a wheelchair, you're not able to go on one of these. So now they have the ability swing. But maybe you can't hold on to a swing. Maybe you can't sit up properly. Maybe you need to be supported. And maybe you would just like to play on a piece of equipment with your brothers and sisters and with your friends.
How important is that? Because I think
Bird's nest swing makes that possible.
Inclusion is so important to people of all ages. And I think particularly for younger people, for children, because they can watch on and go, well, why can't I do that? Yet we have stuff, if we put it in, that they can. They can be involved with it.
They can be involved in it. And I think too, you know, if you have a young family and one of your children have any form of disability at all, you have to think about where you go as a family to include all of your family members, regardless of their ability. So I think it's very important that we now make the playground one of those places that a whole family can go to and everybody can be included regardless of what your capabilities are.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you mentioned it, I'm not sure you did, but also part of the plans is an accessible, wheelchair-accessible picnic bench. So if you decided to take a few sandwiches, everyone can sit in the same space.
We decided go big or go home. We might as well just, when you're doing it, you might as well do it right. That was our feeling. You know, it started off with just a swing, then it became the bird's nest swing, and then now, correct.
Yeah,
it's, the picnic bench has been added on too, but we're very excited about it, and the community have got behind us. You know, we've been so grateful and surprised at, you know, the support that we've received from the local communities.
Which I'm sure too, as well as in this project, it's so useful, but as well in dealing with your own loss and grief as well, that people are so supportive in your brother's memory. You know, it helps with that, doesn't it?
It does help. It's definitely helped with the grieving process, you know, to be able to focus positively on him over the last year. You know, obviously it's bittersweet. We wouldn't be doing it if we had him. However, you know, it definitely has helped me anyway over the last couple of months, and I'm very proud to be involved in it.
And so you should be. You're making great inroads. And this is working with the council, obviously, because as you mentioned, they're responsible for the playground. So you had to approach them, presumably, and say, look, this is what we want to do.
Yeah, so we had the idea. Of course, we had an idea and we hadn't a clue what we were doing, really. But I approached Councillor Cross, Nicholas Crossan first, and he put me on to the Donegal County Council engineer, John Deaney. And John has just been so supportive from day one. Mm-hmm. You know, he might not be as happy to hear from me as I am to hear from him on a regular basis. But he has. He's been great and he's been very helpful. And now the disability officer, Trudy O'Reilly, has been helping as well. So, you know, some people might think, well, maybe the council should have had it in there already. But the reality is the council are stretched doing as much as they can, where they can. And they're trying to put everything, you know, in the best place possible. Yeah. But the reality is, when we looked into this and we saw the costings of it, we would not actually have been able to do this as a family or as a charity without the support of the Donegal County Council. So it has become a huge joint venture, and we're very grateful for that they agreed to help us out. So,
important. Is there a target figure or is it open-ended? And where are you at this point before we start talking then about the fundraising element to this?
The contract that we have now with the council is that we, Fund for All, will raise the money for the equipment, which comes to about €20,000 for the three pieces. And the Donegal County Council, they have agreed to fund the groundswork and the installation of the same, which comes to way more than 20,000. You know, so we got lucky. We really did get lucky with that. However, I don't underestimate it as a huge amount of money to ask of the public.
So have you started yet? Is there a figure there yet at the moment?
Yeah, we have. We've about 8,000 at the moment.
We could blast through the 20,000 here.
Yeah.
Can't we?
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
I mean, why not? Who would not want to have some association with this? Because everyone, in a way, who contributes, whether it's a fiver or a tenner or a hundred, they're part of this. They're part. They then become part of this great legacy, the Gareth Friel Memorial Charity, because they can go up and say, I contributed.
Everybody can
to that.
See they contributed.
I just want to, sometimes do we make that connection to how important your donation is, because you are part of this amazing thing.
That's exactly right. And that's why, you know, earlier on I got in touch with the local schools, because for the same reason I thought, well, this is a legacy for the future children of Buncrana and the surrounding areas and for tourists. Mm. You know, so I thought, well, why not let the kids in Scullysegan and St. Oran's and, you know, the other schools be able to say, we helped do that, Mummy. Yeah. You know, and be proud of it. And we got in touch with some of the schools, and Scullysegan, St. Oran's National School in Cockhill, and Little Twigs and Forest Friends, the Forest Play School in Buncrana. They all had bake sales and coffee mornings us. And they raised over €3,000, which blew us away,
Sure.
So the children should be very, very proud of themselves. Yeah. And also thanks to the parents who obviously gave the kids the money. So it is important to us. And
it's all the kids. Don't worry about the parents.
Yeah, it's all about the kids.
Just to reiterate before we then start talking how people can help. Corinne and others involved in this, can you imagine a scenario, and everyone's situation is different, that going forward in this park in Buncrana, you could have a family of four who, whichever makeup that might be, and let's just say one of the children has a disability, that they could then go collectively, that the siblings could enjoy the swings and rides together, and that sense of the swings and the bird's nest together, and the wheelchair swing, that sense of inclusion and involvement, that everybody's doing the same thing, and then pop out the picnic at the picnic bench. Yeah. Just how important that might be to people.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to
achieve. It's hugely important, and I think unless you have a child with disabilities, it's maybe not something that you can appreciate as much.
That's why I tried to articulate it in as clear a way as possible.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, if you can go somewhere that you don't have to think about what's going to happen when I get there, that's the dream, isn't it?
Of course. The Facebook page is Fun for All.
Fun for All, yeah.
And there's an iDonate link there,
presumably.
We have
an iDonate page, yeah. If you go into iDonate and type in Gareth's name, we have iDonate charity page, and then we also have the iDonate a walk for Gareth. So you can
we'll
donate direct to the walk, or you can direct to the
charity. On the iDonate, it's Gareth Friel, GARETHFRIEL.
Yeah.
And you can go for Fun for All on Facebook. Now, talk to me then about, listen, there's 12 grand here required. I would just hope that people listening today would be able to put a big chunk in that for all the reasons that have been outlined, and I really hope so. And as soon as I come off air, I'll do my bit as well. But I think
we could just get yous
across this modest, in the wider scale of things.
Yeah, and the great scale of things with today's money, target. I suppose, is not a huge amount. We're just aware of the fact that we're living in an environment and we're living in a time where money's tight.
But
if every person in Anishon gave us €1,
that's it. All right, okay. So talk to me then about the Friel family walk.
The Friel family dander, So next Saturday, we're setting off at Bamba's Crown in Malinhead at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we're walking through Carndonagh and down into the Market Square in Buncrana. So it's about 40k, I think, altogether.
And you all get on, because if this was my family, it'd just be a screaming match, a 40-kilometre screaming
match. Well, the
road's
wide enough. We could take the both sides, I suppose, and keep us apart from each other, but no.
It's on the 22nd of July, and how do people support?
Saturday.
Or do you want people to join you, or what?
Both, So, I mean, people can support you. I know we do need money, obviously, but people can support us too by coming out at the end, you know, welcoming us back to Buncrana. Join in on the walk as well would be wonderful. There is that option too, to join in at any point along the way. And obviously the financial donations are hugely important.
Brilliant.
As well. So that's the three ways. So you can give the money direct, you know, to any of us on the day, or you can give money to the iDonate webpage as well.
And lots of people can donate a little, or maybe if you've got a lot of money, you can have a big say in the installation of a wheelchair ability swing, a bird's nest swing, and a wheelchair accessible picnic bench. All hopefully, it's going to happen, of course, at the Festival Play Park in Buncrana, but you can go on to Fun for All now. and get more details. So go to iDonate and put Gareth's name in, because this is all about him.
Yeah.
G-A-R-E-T-H, Gareth Friel, F-R-I-E-L, and donate whatever you can. And Corinne's recognised, we're all in the same boat. It's, you know, some people have more, some people have less, and you recognise that. But if you have a wee bit spare, then please do. Who's the bodyguards here with you?
The bodyguards are Sonny and Eve.
Hi, Sonny. I thought you would come in and say hello, but not too shy.
No, they're sitting looking in the window.
Right, okay, well, listen, making sure you don't do a misstep. Anything else you want to mention before I let you go, Corinne?
Anything else? We've actually contacted all our lovely councillors in Donegal as well. They have a fund called the Members Development Fund.
Good stuff.
I know,
they do,
well,
indeed,
you've got to try everybody. So I'm glad to say the Buncrana councillors have come back with donations for us, but I'm still waiting to hear back now from all the rest, so I just thought I'd give them a wee reminder there. They might have missed the email, might have went into the junk, they might just be too busy, but we'll be delighted to hear back from anybody, because it will add to tourism in the area as well.
Of course it will. You know, and that's such an important thing, because, you know, if someone's thinking of where to go, they can say, oh, right, well, these facilities are there. So, you know, there's many, many reasons. Okay, it's a wonderful thing in memory of a wonderful person, and we recognise how brave you've been and how difficult it is to talk about, but it's for such a good reason. We appreciate it so much, and I just hope you blast through that target really, really quickly.
Thank you. Can I say two more small things?
Didn't want to come on.
No, I know, but sure, when you start then you may keep on going. Anybody who joins in for the walk on Saturday, if they could wear white.
Lovely.
White will just represent the purity of disabled children.
Brilliant.
And I think it's a nice gesture. And also we have a charity fundraiser in the Laurentic Bar on this Saturday night coming. We've an 80s and 90s disco with raffles as well, so everybody's very welcome to come along, have a hoolie, kick their shins up, and have a great night in memory of Gareth.
Brilliant.
So
and that,
thank you so much,
it's
Greg,
our pleasure,
for having
it's
me.
Our pleasure, Corinne. Once I got you started, I couldn't stop you.
No, you couldn't stop me.
Just to remind you, that walk on July 22nd, wear white if you can. You don't have to do it all, presumably. You can just be part of it or go out and wave or whatever. It's a 40-kilometre route. The Friel family are going, the Friel Ramble, is it that what you called it? Friel Dander. From Bamber's Crown, Malinhead, to the Festival Play Park. And
sorry, not to Market Square. Sorry to interrupt you. We're finishing at the Market Square in Buncrana.
Can I sit over there and you do this
do you
side?
Want to swap over for an hour?
I think we might as well. Come here,
sorry,
listen, Greg. So it finishes where, just to make sure I have it absolutely?
The Market Square, Buncrana, hopefully around 3 o'clock.
Perfect, okay. Perfect. Thank you so much, Corinne, for coming in. And thank you to the two that come in to support you as well. And the very best luck with everything. And I just hope you blast through that target just as soon as is possible.
Thank you, and I really do appreciate you talking to us today.
It's
thank
our
you
pleasure.
So much for
thank
on behalf
you.
Of everyone. Thank
indeed.
You.
Indeed. Corinne Robinson there, brother of Gareth Friel, who very sadly passed away just last year on July 31st. And I mentioned there, go to Fun for All and check out the links there on Facebook, or go to iDonate and search Gareth's name, Gareth Friel.